Hello, everybody. It's Connor. Happy Wednesday and happy summer. I am so excited to welcome you to this episode of Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell, your favorite twins in the podcasting world and also in general, I'm sure. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. We release weekly episodes with artists who are primarily promoting, working on, or have lived a life in the theater. And today's guest is no exception. He's making his off-Broadway debut in Delaria. The Joel Roth Theater down in Union Square. It's Chris Briney, everyone's crush from The Summer I Turned Pretty, which is currently airing its third and final season on Amazon. Anyway, if you found us because of Chris, or if you found us because you already know and love us, thank you so much. I wanted to pop in before the episode starts properly to tell you that there's even more drama if you want it. It's at patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where if you sign up for $5 a month, you become a member of Drama Plus. At Drama Plus, you get extra bonus episodes every single month, and you get added to our close friends on Instagram where the real drama goes down. All right. Thank you again. Go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast for even more drama and enjoy today's episode with Chris Briney, Team Conrad. All right. Time for the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, okay, there is only one thing on my mind today because the finale aired this week and I've been listening to other podcasts breaking down the full season. There was only 8 episodes, but Bravo's Next Gen NYC. I know you just binged all of it.
Yes, per your recommendation. Well, I watched a little bit of it when I was visiting you in New York this summer.
Okay.
And I was hooked within seconds. I knew I would be.
It's so good. Well, I wasn't sure because I, of course, knew the Bravo celebrity children that are on it, but it's these new New Yorkers they introduced to the show that are just hitting, like Charlie and Georgia and Amira. Oh my God.
Yeah, Charlie's a star. You know, when you would watch Gossip Girl and you'd see this sort of unattainable lifestyle of these rich kids in New York, feels like that, but it's being lived out as mid-20-somethings. And I mean, it's all Hunter and I have been wanting to watch
Really?
Constantly. Yes.
Okay, who's your like breakout star from it? Give me like-
It's Charlie. It's Charlie,
Charlie?
without a doubt.
I'm like Ariana Zolciak-Bierman.
Okay.
Kim's daughter, but also Georgia.
Wait, I know that, you ride hard for Georgia. Yeah,
she's so good. She's like everyone in New York knows a Georgia, that kind of girl, like that specific personality type. Like she's a little polarizing. Wait, I was tickled pink when I was looking through the social media account of the play that our guest today is on, and they reposted that clip of Charlie and Georgia like going to town at each other. Like
I saw that.
Oh my God. Because that's how the characters in Delaria talk, actually.
Oh, really?
It's literally how they talk to each other.
Well, now so I'm even like, more upset I haven't seen it.
I know. It's interesting, this like Gen Z representation on stage and screen moment that's happening, especially around like how they live in New York, that I find to be super interesting, like how social media and socioeconomic status and all of that really plays into like just friendship dynamics, period. I think everybody has to check out Next Gen NYC and they have to check out the play that our guest today is in,
yes.
Delaria, which we'll talk about. I'm so excited to talk to him. He seems so chill and nice.
As expected.
Well, I mean, he's also, I'm sure, on everyone's phones. They can't open their Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever, without seeing his face. So
right,
now they're going
right.
to hear his voice in their ears when they open up their podcast app of their choice. But anyway, y'all, our guest today is currently making his New York City onstage debut as Noah in Delaria, a new off-Broadway play written by Julia Randall. You'll know this heartthrob as Conrad Fisher in the hit Amazon series, The Summer I Turned Pretty, which just dropped its highly anticipated third season, releasing weekly. He made his film debut starring opposite Sir Ben Kingsley in Dollyland, which premiered at the 2022 Toronto Film Festival. This Connecticut native also starred as Aaron Samuels in the Mean Girls movie musical opposite Renee Rapp. He's written, directed, and appears in short films and just received North Fork TV Festival's 2025 Rising Star Award. He's a Brooklyn boy, a fashion king, and is certainly making a name for himself as a leading man on stage and screen. Please welcome to Drama, Christopher Briney.
That was way too generous. Thank you. That was a very kind introduction.
Oh my gosh. Wait, is it Chris or Christopher?
I mean, legally it's Christopher, but I usually go by Chris.
Okay.
Chris, we'll call you Chris.
I love it. Please do.
You're North Fork TV Festival's 2025 Rising Star.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, got the hardware to prove it.
Little smudged and dusty.
Was that an in-person award ceremony?
It was, I mean, a little bit. Yeah, it was in person in North Fork on Long Island. Yeah, it was lovely. I mean, it was a very sweet event, and the people that were running it were lovely. It was cute.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Is that your first major award?
I won a high school theater award, but major is all relative, right?
Sure. Well, in my head, I'm like, did you not win a Teen Choice Award at some point? I
Yeah,
feel like that's
I don't
something that
think
Somewhere to Turn
so.
Pretty would be nominated for.
I know you would
Yeah.
imagine.
Wait, like best on-screen kiss or whatever, best love triangle. They make MTV and even Kids' Choice do that stuff. So that's crazy. There, you haven't been up for any.
Yeah, and Outer Banks, and how do you beat Outer Banks?
I know.
Listen, you're talking to an Outer Banks stan right here.
There you go.
So
There you
listen.
go.
Wait, I just saw I Know What You Did Last Summer, and Madeline Klein is in it from Outer Banks.
Right. Is it out? It's out.
Came out last
Oh,
week. Yeah,
sweet.
it's really
Wait, she's
good.
a
Yeah. She's an it girl.
Is it the movie works? It's really
It
good.
works. It does. I think it
Yeah.
works. Are you a horror guy at all?
No, I hate horror movies.
Okay.
I don't hate them. I get scared.
Oh.
I will say it's not
It's
scary. It's just like there's like a heart racing, thrilling element to it.
more thriller than horror, would you say?
Yeah,
Okay.
for sure.
I would, but Dylan, there are a few scenes that are really scary.
But the villain is a man in a fisherman outfit, sort of shrouded in shadow. So it's sort of giving like hash slinging slasher from
Right.
SpongeBob
SpongeBob.
vibes. Yeah. There's like a campiness to it.
Oh my
Yeah.
God. That's funny. But Chris, anyway, we dove right in to obviously talk about your award and summer movies, but we like to check in with all of our guests. You're having a big summer. Are you well?
I'm all right. Yeah. I've been like a little under the weather the past week or so, and I don't like feel sick, but I have like a lot of phlegm. This is like way TMI.
Hey, we asked.
So I've had like a cough, and trying to manage that on stage has been a little difficult. But we've been doing it, and at least I don't feel unwell.
Sure.
So yeah, it's been a lot going on, but all mostly positive things.
That's good.
The worst is when there's like that little tickle and you're like, it's coming. Oh
That's
my
what it
God.
is. And then like I have to like keep my breath in like the safe zone so I don't cough on stage. It's really
Yes.
learning new techniques and such.
Is this the longest run you've had, like of a play or anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. The last play I did was in college, and we did maybe like six shows over 2 weekends. So
Yeah.
this is, I think we just hit like our 50th or 40th Delaria. So quite different.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I got a chance to see the play earlier this month, and Chris, you are so funny in it.
Thank you.
So funny. I didn't know what to expect. I knew, the plot of the show and everything, but I've never gotten to see you do anything as comedic as this. Your comedy comes from such a genuine place. I was obsessed with your performance, so congrats.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. It's fun to, I've always loved comedy. I grew up on comedy, and it's fun to play with that and be that sort of in the show, because the show is really funny. I mean, everybody has funny moments. But he's a little stupid. It's fun to be a little stupid. Did you enjoy it? I think going into it
Oh yeah.
not knowing what you're signing up for is probably the best way of doing it.
Absolutely. I was talking about with Dylan at the start of this. It really re does remind me of how these people talk on this Bravo show, Next Gen
Yeah.
NYC. I found the dialogue to be so sharp and witty and biting in a way that shocked me, but in a way that I loved. Like from the get, like in the first 5 minutes, we're talking about like
Right.
blowjobs and using words that I'm looking around the audience, I'm like, oh my God, are these teen girls
I
like
know. Yeah.
traumatized right now? It was, like I said, like shocking in a way that was really appealing and it was really entertaining. I never knew where the story was going to go. And when it went to very shocking places, I was delighted.
Yeah. That's sort of what drew me to it in the first place. I was like, there's something really jarring about it, and I think it all works, and it keeps you on your toes, and it's really funny on top of all that. So I'm glad that was your takeaway.
Yeah.
For the uninitiated like me, although I have done some research on it,
I
can you give a quick little tease about what Delaria is about?
can try. It's difficult. So the play is called Delaria. The title character, Delaria, it all takes place in her bedroom. And the other characters are Georgia, and they are best friends. And then there is Noah, who is her fuck buddy by character description. And yeah, it centers around sort of like the way that these characters are interacting and talking about pop culture and using social media, and that sort of frames the demise of arguably all these characters in a way, and just their slow descent into madness. It's fun. It's fun.
What has the general audience reaction been?
It's been overall, I think, positive. It is really hard to prepare people for the subject material. And I think there have been a lot of people coming. I've had friends come with their parents, you know. And I don't know if this is the show I would want. I remember my dad came and that was great. But I don't know if this is the show you want to see with your parents. And, but maybe it'll spark discussion and you guys will learn something about each other. There's been some shock. Like last night, it was like a really interesting audience. And there were quite a few like gasps and like, it's kind of funny when people respond to moments like in words. I'm like, that's not normal theater etiquette, I don't think, but it kind of works and it adds to it. And people seem invested.
That's
It's good.
amazing. Yeah, I think that, when we say like, oh, there's shocking language or plot points, it's probably shocking because they haven't seen it on stage. But with the way that social media is, people have so much access to, and they know things at a young age
Right.
too. So.
That's true. Yeah. I think it's just unfamiliar to maybe hear in person.
Yeah.
But yeah, online you hear all sorts of shit.
Oh, yeah. Now, wait, what did your dad think?
I think he liked it a lot. He thought it was funny. I heard him laughing a few times, but he's just such a wonderful supporter. So I think even if I don't think he could hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he did, but I don't think he
Well,
could.
speaking of hearing him laugh, that space is so intimate.
Yeah.
I was like, how are they not distracted by the audience,
It
like
happened.
laughing? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's 99 seats, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh. There could be 100 people in a room.
Yeah. And whenever we have fight call, I go sit in the back. And to be fair, it is like in the back. It is a little bit of a, but it is such a small space and a small stage. And if I'm sitting, there's a chair downstage left. And I think if I leaned out and the person in the seats leaned forward a little bit, we could hold hands. Like it's very close. So when people have reactions, I don't know if they realize, but I can fully hear every word they say. There was a group talking the other day, and I was like, I can hear you, but
What were they talking about?
I'm not exactly sure. Tessa, who's in the show, she had friends there that day, and they were like, yeah, there's a group behind us just fighting the whole time. And I, to be fair, they were like 7 rows back, so I couldn't quite hear what they were fighting
Yeah.
about, but I was like, you guys are straight up talking, dude. This is.
They definitely were like triggered by something that happened on stage, and they were like, that's you. And it inspired them to be like, you did
Someone
that
got
shit to me.
offended by that. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, and Tessa, who I famously know as Sutton Foster's daughter on Younger.
Is she? That's so cool. She's
Yeah.
great.
Wait, we need to talk about your costumes in the show, specifically the like slutty rugby tee in the second
Yeah.
half and the Calvin Kleins. Like, how involved were you in costuming Noah?
I do not take credit. I give credit to our wonderful costume designer. There was a period of time where I was like first reading it and we were first entering rehearsals where I was like, I was a little unsure of the direction we wanted Noah to go in because I was like, he can be really, really dumb, like really just stupid. And he can also be just a real douchebag. And I wasn't really, I think I had questions about how far in what direction he should be. And I think he has moments on both sides, and the costume helped me solidify that, I think. I think that was a real telling moment because he's in like these like low, well, they're not really low rise. I just try to keep them as low as I can with the belt on and have like the Calvins coming up above it. And then the rugby tee, which I love, it's like it's hemmed, like it's cut hemmed. And so like every now and then it just rolls a little further and further up just by way of like the fabric pulling on itself. It helps me tell the story because I like I'm always like fixing something and I think he's a little uncomfortable and I think part of it is like he wants to look cool for like the people around him And there was a moment where like the shirt was rolled up so high that I was just like scratching my belly the whole scene. And I think it's, I don't know. I thought it was funny. I don't know if anybody cared about that, but
Trust
I
me,
love
we
that.
cared. We cared, Chris. We cared. No, I agree. I think it really plays into his character. I love him because, well, I should say, I love this about the writing that we hear so much about him before he actually shows up on stage, like the full opening story, and then the scene about, Delaria seeing him at the party and what she says to him, et cetera, et cetera. And then he comes on stage and we're all like, wait, I like love this guy. It's crazy.
He's set up to be a real douchebag. I mean, in the first scene, what did they say? They say that like she gave him head and then he was like kissing a girl 30 minutes later and he was like, I don't give a fuck, like whatever. He's painted to be a real piece of shit, but we've played a lot with what is Delaria saying that's true and untrue, because she so totally stretches the truth in some moments and some are honest. And I think that is sort of the first seed of like, oh, this isn't quite who she painted a picture of. But yeah, I like the little surprise where I'm fond of Noah. I think he may not be very intelligent, but he's honest and sincere, and I think he's trying his best.
He is.
And what more can you ask for from him? I
I
don't
know. He
know.
seems like a nice guy. And now, are they like high school age, college age?
They're just like post grad college age,
Okay, cool.
like 23, 24, 20 something.
Same.
Hey, me too. Me as well. Yeah.
The show talks a lot about like what it means to be terminally online nowadays, obviously pop culture, reality TV, true crime even. And I'm wondering what your relationship to some of that is. Do you watch any reality TV?
I don't typically consume much reality TV. I've caught a few episodes and moments of Love Island, because who hasn't?
Right. This year?
I caught like one or two this year.
Okay.
What was the really like the one people loved last year?
Last year. Last
Last
year.
year, yeah, I saw
Last
some
year.
of that.
Yeah.
I'm not super up on pop culture. I'm not very active online. Most of my social media is like fucking golf and baseball and video games, and so I'm not up on much besides who won the golf tournament last weekend.
Was that always your relationship with social media? Because being around the same age, like obviously it was a huge thing for like Instagram, et cetera, Twitter,
Right.
even when we were like coming up through high school and college. Were you very active back then and it switched at some point?
Yeah, I mean, are you guys like also, I'm 27. You guys ish?
Yes. We'll go with
Ish.
ish. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with ish. But then you guys know, like, I mean, I didn't have a phone until, like a smartphone at least, until I was a junior in high school or something, like a senior or sophomore in high school. So I didn't really, I knew what Instagram was, but there was no expectation to be on it, you know?
Yeah.
More people were talking about Vine than they were talking about Instagram,
Yes.
and that died quickly.
The summer of Vine was the best summer of my
Like nothing
life.
else. The summer I Vined, yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, my relationship to social media, I don't think I've ever been like super involved. I feel like the most involved I was just like scrolling my mind out on TikTok for a couple years, like COVID, post COVID a little bit, just because what else were you gonna do? And the algorithm was so good. And
Oh, yeah.
then I guess since the summer I turned pretty has come out and my Instagram has gotten more followers and stuff, I've sort of felt more of a need to like step away a little bit and be like, okay, I mean, there are positives here. You know, it's cool to be able to share things with a lot of people and to be able to have a platform and have that sort of a voice. And there's also a lot of pressure. And there's also like, I don't know how much of my life I feel like I want to share actively with a lot of people. 'Cause that's what I think the draw, at least for a while, was for me, is like, oh, let me just post sweet pictures of my friends for my other friends or whatever. And not that it can't be that, but it is a little different these days.
Oh, for sure. That makes sense. I mean, I remember I used to be like, okay, I need to post once a week and I need to
Right.
like
Yeah.
show everyone what I
At the
did.
right
Now,
time, too.
the
Like,
right time, that was big.
yeah.
Now it's so different. And now Connor and I both work in social media, and so
Yeah.
I know personally because of that, I'm posting for other accounts. I don't even post my own stuff anymore. If I do, it's for the podcast, like a collaboration post or something.
Yeah.
It's become really interesting. And I think for you also have to protect your peace a little bit because people have probably want access to you because of how obsessed they are with
Right,
the work you've done.
right. So I think I've gained more of an understanding of the value of just privacy,
Yeah.
keeping some things for myself.
Feel like Noah would be the same way. I don't think he's posting that
I
much.
don't think he has Instagram.
You don't think? Not even to like DM, slide into DMs.
He is the type.
He's got
It's
an inactive
tough.
account, and so if girls want to learn about him, they go to his tagged photos just to see if anyone's posting anything
Yeah,
exciting
there you
about
go. Yeah, he's tagged a couple times, but
him.
yeah, so he's like DMing people on LinkedIn.
That's
That's
hilarious.
so good.
Tell me about your castmates. So it's Ella Stiller, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Has her father, speaking of dads coming to the show, has he come to see the show?
Yeah, he's come a few times. It's really wonderful to see. He's been like super supportive and shown up a bunch of times to come see her. And he's been lovely. She's really phenomenal in this show. Like, she's really good.
She's like scary good. What a fun role.
She's just taking everybody on this ride. And so much of like the pacing of the show, and I mean, it really rides on her back for most of the show, and she picks it up every single night. She does a great job. I think it's like the perfect blend of like, I don't know if I hate you or admire your honesty, or I think it really is a it's a thought-provoking performance. And yeah, and we've had now two actors who have played Georgia. We had Kiara, and now we have Tessa, because Kiara left to do John Proctor, which is awesome and great for her, and she's missed. But yeah, I mean, two totally different versions of this character, which has been wonderful to play with, because we, you know, created this production with Kiara's Georgia, and I was so used to that, and she was so good. And then Tessa comes in and just completely throws a wrench in all of it, and it's very different, and it's been cool, because like that was like about halfway through our run where she took over, and so I think it in some ways breathed some new life into it and gave more reason to be like, oh wow, we're just figuring this. Because the second time I ever did it with her was for an audience, you know, we had a put in, and then we were doing it in front of people, and so it's just been
Wow.
like on the fly figuring it out, but it's been fun.
I'll bet. So what you're saying is people who came early need to come again.
Absolutely. See a different job. Yeah.
Absolutely. Chris, I know we're talking a lot about what you're up to now, but we do like to ask our guests about the moment they got into the arts. We borrow a ring of keys from Fun Home because we like to think of it as maybe this moment of recognition where this light switch went on and you were like, oh my God, I'm watching this movie or listening to this music or participating in the arts in some way, and you're like, oh my God, I have to do this. Do you feel like you had a moment you can pinpoint?
Yeah, I mean, there are a few different moments. I mean, both of my parents lived in New York in like the 80s and were trying to act and going to like, you know, big casting calls and waiting in long lines. And
Like to be on stage.
yeah. And then when they had my sister, they moved out of the city to like start a family and blah, blah, blah. But that being said, the arts were always a part of the household in a little bit. Like, I never felt like it was like some dirty little secret I had, like that I wanted to watch a play or something. Like, I never had to be ashamed or like sleuthy about that. My dad was playing classical music on the piano, and my mom would sing, and so like an artistic family. And I didn't want to do that for a long time. I mean, I was like a little ensemble member in the Music Man theater production my mom was doing, and that was probably the first time I was on stage. But I didn't want to do it until I think there was a moment in high school, because there are a lot of movies I love and a lot of like characters I love, but I never like made the connection of it being something I would want to pursue until I did it in high school. And we had this mandatory class. It was called Foundations of Theater or something. We had to do Foundation of Music, Art, Theater, and Music. Our teacher, Mr. Schulte, who came to see Dilara the other day, shout out Mr. Schulte. And I was doing this, like, it was probably the first scene I ever did and worked on. And it was like some play version of like Sherlock Holmes. And it was me and this kid. And we were like tied to chairs or something. And I was Watson. And we were just doing silly voices and like trying to make like our classmates laugh. Like, that was really like what we were trying to do. There was no technique. And just the joy I felt doing that, I think, was the first spark where I was like, oh, this is like really fun. And it was not about technique, it was not about craft, you know, which I think came a lot later. and appreciation and respect for the job of an actor. But the first thing was just the fun of it and just the joy of like putting on a funny voice and saying words.
Do you feel like you've been able to have that fun this summer with Delaria?
For sure.
That's
I
amazing.
do get to put on a funny voice and say funny words.
Wait, what were some of the movies that you mentioned that you loved, some different movies and characters? Like, do you have any off the dome?
Oh man, I mean, I loved Ferris Bueller's growing up. I loved Marty McFly growing up. I loved Zach from Saved by the Bell. And there were so many more, but I didn't connect that as something like achievable. They were just sort of like movies from a different time that I really enjoyed and thought were funny and exciting. And I don't really know where I connected the bridge. I think, I don't know, I've just been lucky. So I still don't really comprehend how these things connect and intersect. And
You studied at Pace, right? So then you ultimately
I did.
did you have to audition for that program?
Yeah, I auditioned for like 11 schools and I got into one and a half. The one did not require an audition, so that was the 12th school. And then the half was Pace because I got on, they had like an alternate list. So I was
Oh,
not a first
no.
choice, but I was an alternate and someone dropped out and I ended up getting to go.
It was fate.
It was fake because I
Yeah.
made some of the best friends in the world there. And I got exactly what I dreamed I'd get out of college there. So it worked out great. I just set my bar way too high. I went to that Juilliard audition like, here we go, I'm getting in. You know, fuck out. No, I wasn't. I didn't know what I was doing.
Did you have to bring just like a monologue?
Yeah, I mean, God, every school was different. You had to like a contemporary and a classic and it was so bad. I hope there's no footage.
You walked in with Cameron's monologue from the end of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and
Yeah.
and they're like,
When he
okay.
kicks the car,
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Wait, that's an incredible scene. Oh my
yeah.
God, yeah.
It's a great, honestly, someone should do that because that's a really good one.
I need to give that movie a rewatch in general.
Yeah, it holds up.
We were obsessed with the parade scene, and
Oh,
obviously the classroom stuff is so
yeah,
good
but the
too.
dance. Oh my
Yeah,
God.
the dance.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick, legend.
Legend.
So, what are some highlights from Pace of any acting performances you got to do?
That's a great question. There were a lot. I think some of the most fun acting I ever did, honestly, just period, was at Pace in this play called Pig Farm. I don't know if you guys are familiar.
No, never heard of
It's
it.
Greg Otis who did Urinetown.
Oh.
And it's a play he wrote. It's four characters. It's, let me see if I can remember. It's Tim, Tom, Tina, and Teddy. Well, Tom and Tina are a couple and they operate a pig farm, and Tim is there. This is so hard. They're like sort of like farmhouse boy and he helps out. And then he and Tina sort of have a romantic relationship. But then Teddy is the feds and he comes in because they have to count the pigs. There's a big pig count every year. And then there's something about the wrong number and there's gunshots at the end
Oh
and
my God.
Teddy and Tim both die. But it's so ridiculous. We had so much fun doing it.
And you played Tina.
And I put Tina. No, I played Tim. And I remember in the audition, I mean, this is like such college theater, and I honestly do think it was a pretty decent production. I think we did a good job with it. But like in the audition, I remember at least we had like a first round and then sort of like a chem read type thing. And I just remember all of a sudden I like found this voice for the character. It was like, Tina, they're gonna take the pigs away. And I just something like clicked, and I got to do it and with lovely people. And our director Kyle was studying because Pace has a few different acting tracks, and he was in the BA International Performance Ensemble with a focus on directing, or is he just a director? Anyways, yeah, but they like that program focuses a lot on like experimental devised theater, and so we ended up like devising these like transitions between scenes where we were all pigs, and I don't know, there's a video on YouTube I think, but I don't think it does it justice.
I will be looking that up.
Really fun.
Yeah, I read, and I don't know if it was an interview that you did or something, that you talked about the friend group that you formed at Pace was like
Yeah.
one of the greatest takeaways from it. Are you still in touch with a lot of those people?
Yeah, I live with two of them.
Oh my God.
I'm dating one of them. She lives with another person. So, yeah, I mean, I would be nowhere without my community. The first movie I did, Dolly Land, I had a lot of days where I was like really like crippled by anxiety and just fear of like failure. And the sort of turning point was I was just like laying on the floor in like fetal position. I might be exaggerating, but this is how it is in my head.
Of course.
I just had a realization where I was like, you know what? If I fail, my friends will still give me a hug when I get home and they won't look at me differently. And that got me through the rest of it, where I was like, you know what? The worst thing I can do is fail, and that'll be okay.
I think that that's like such a testament to the people that, you genuinely connect with, and you also go through experiences like college together that you're kind of forged in stone
Yeah.
together.
I mean, because you've seen each other at your worst, so you can't really,
Right.
if you're still with each other, then you're fine.
I know. Well, our listeners will kill us if we don't talk about The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Yeah, let's do
I have to say, I'm new to it. I've spent the last 2 weeks watching
it.
all of it.
Oh, no way. Thank you.
I'm hooked, I have to say. I really love your character. I don't know if I'm just biased because I knew you were coming on our show.
Either way, I appreciate it. Thank you.
My lore with The Summer I Turned Pretty is that when I was in high school, I read the third book first. I saw it at the
That's
library.
so funny.
We'll Always Have Summer,
Yeah.
famously. And I read it and I was like, this is so good. As like a little gay boy in high school reading this book, LOL. About like halfway through, I'm like, I feel like I'm missing a lot of context. Like there's, quite a bit going on. So then I, of course, went back and read one, two, and then three. But I was so obsessed with it. And Conrad's really gone through it. I feel like I am like full team Conrad. Wait, I saw this tweet about it. It was basically like, okay, wait, this is a spoiler for season three of The Summer I Turned Pretty for the episode that just aired on July 23rd. But it was like, this dude just lost his dream job and now he's got to fly across the country to be at dinner with for his best friend who was just in a coma with his ex-girlfriend who's dating his brother. And it was just like, damn, he really is
It's pretty fucking intense when you break it
intense.
down
I know.
like
So bad
that.
for the guy. He's a good dude.
Yeah. I think it's designed that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had it coming. No, I do too. I always have a soft spot for him. Yeah, I think on paper he can be hard to root for sometimes, and he can be a little harsh, despondent. There are a lot of words for it, but similar to Noah, I think he is trying his best, and I think he's held back often by anxieties and second guessing, but but he's trying his best.
Yeah. So now it's a complete story, right? It's fully done and wrapped and everything.
This is our final season.
Oh my God, congrats. Was it hard to kind of say goodbye and put the bow on that?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I mean, I am so fond of all the people on that, but a bunch of them also just live in New York and I see them all the time. Like Sean, who plays Steven, is like one of my best. We played basketball yesterday. Like I text him almost days of the week. So it's not like I feel like these people that I care about are leaving my lives. And when we first started, I was like, I just hope we, like, dream scenario, we get to do three seasons and tell this whole story. And we've been lucky enough to do that because, you know, it's a, as you mentioned, it's a trilogy, there are three books. If we can tell that story, then we did our job.
The music budget is crazy
Yeah.
on your show. I'm gagged when like another top 40 hit pops in and I'm like, how'd they get this? This is great. And then I'm like, oh, it's Amazon.
Yeah, I don't know if people know how much that stuff costs sometimes. I'm sure I can talk about it, but I won't just because. But there was one song last year, specific for last season, rather, specifically, that cost them $100,000 to license.
Wow.
Like what? And that wasn't even the probably was not the most expensive song they used.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. I'm curious though, for you, is this the kind of music you listen to in real life, or would you soundtrack it differently with your own personal
Oh, I mean,
faves?
I would definitely soundtrack it differently. I think it, only in that, you know, it's Jenny's story and her choice, and
Yeah.
I think this soundtrack is emulative of like the music that she listened to while she was like writing it. Even like a lot of she listened to a lot of Taylor Swift while she was writing this like actively. So I think for her it's kind of a full circle thing where
Yeah.
she has to score it with the music that she wrote it with. So I mean I would definitely score it different. I don't tend to be like a top 40s music kind of a guy, but I think the effectiveness of it seems to be wonderful. It seems like people really appreciate the
Mm-hmm.
the music in it.
Yeah. Who are some of your favorite artists? Like, who's like your Spotify top 10?
Let me think. Well, for years it was Alex G was my top artist, and I think he got knocked off last year for by Fontaines DC, who put out like a banger album last year. But Alex G just put out an album like a week ago, so
They're gonna be fighting for the
they're gonna be
spot.
fighting for it. Radiohead's always up there. I've had a big Oasis year because
Obviously,
they're back,
they're back.
which has been fun to follow and fun to watch all of Liam's interviews resurface.
Did you see what he said about that Coldplay thing?
Yeah.
Look, that's the most Oasis
Wait, what did
thing
he say? Yeah,
possible.
I know. He used it as a way to like dig at Coldplay. I was like, oh, I mean, all right. Don't care if you're cheating at our concert.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Oh, that's
Cool.
so good. Chris, is there a scene or storyline from The Summer I Turned Pretty that you feel most proud of?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been super fond of the relationship that Conrad has with Laurel. I think that's a really sweet relationship, and I think there's this level of understanding there that really isn't or can't be present in any other relationship in these characters' sort of lives. I think there's just some inexplicable just quality that they share. Like they have similar tastes in emotional experiences, and I think they understand each other and what they're going through better than any other characters can. So anyways, all that to say, I really have enjoyed working with Jackie because she's a rock star and she's amazing and really talented. And I also think that that's just an incredibly unique relationship. I mean, this character, he lost his mom and she lost her lifelong best friend, and I think as much as all of the characters in this story are deeply affected by it, I think maybe they've been affected similarly and see that in each other.
Yeah, I live for her scenes. She's just so compelling.
She's amazing. Yeah.
Okay, so, we're a theater podcast. We love Mean Girls the musical. We've got to talk
Yeah.
about Mean Girls the movie
Yeah,
musical,
absolutely.
which you famously didn't sing in.
Yeah.
And Stupid with Love on stage is one of my favorite scenes. So I was kind of sad you didn't get to sing in it, but were you
That's
sad?
great. You would not be sad if you heard me sing. No, I mean, I don't think anybody's accusing me of this, but I always get a little defensive because I want it to be known that they didn't cut it because I'm a terrible singer. It was cut when I auditioned for it. So it's not like, so there were, this audition came to my inbox twice, and the first time I passed on it because I don't sing, at least definitely not well enough to do a musical adaptation movie. And then it came back around and they'd cut the singing requirement and things worked out. I would love to be able to sing well, but the people don't want it.
Well, you were amazing in the movie, I have to say. It was it
It
felt
was
like,
fun.
yeah, Mean Girls for a new generation in many
Yeah.
ways.
I mean, the start, you got Renee, you got Ali, you have. And Gary's phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, it just to be in that room was really fun, and they're all such wonderful people.
Yeah. Was
Was
Tina pretty
Tina?
involved? Dylan and I, of course, are both like
Yeah.
30 Rock super fans over here. We're like, was Tina
Me too.
involved?
I love Tina. She was really involved. Yeah, she was there pretty much every day. She was sort of in Video Village, and she'd have things thrown out here and there, but it's her world. I mean, there was one scene where she was just sort of throwing out things, like yelling from the other room, things she thought were funny to try, like just in a series, sort of like, try this. She's a genius. I love Tina.
Oh, that's cool. I love the Till Someone Gets Hurt, like the Halloween sequence thing. That's
Oh,
amazing.
yeah. Yeah. It's hilarious. Yeah.
Really, really well done.
That was cool. When you look back on Mean Girls, what's like that first memory that pops into your head?
The first memory, they had rehearsals going on because something I would love to acknowledge is the dancers on that worked harder, longer than anyone else involved. I mean, they were there months before I was. They were there every day before and after I was. And I pretty much everybody was like, they worked their asses off. So like one of the first days I went to, because we shot it in Jersey, one of the first days I was driven out to Jersey, we were in a house where we filmed the Halloween party sequence. It was in like a real house. And I was just sort of like thrown in to basically watch what they'd done, and they'd been working with sort of the choreography with Renee, and I was just like, this is like really good. Because not that I didn't expect it to be, but I don't know. I don't have much experience in like the musical theater space and the dance space, and just like watching what they had seemingly thrown together and the readiness with which they all like took notes and changes and worked with the choreographer, who's Kyle, who's just phenomenal. Watching them work just blew me away. It's crazy.
And the finished product is incredible.
Yeah, they did so good.
All right, well, we're nearing the end of our convo, Chris, but before we say goodbye, we always end with a dose of drama, which is a pop culture recommendation, the show you've been binging, that thing you did the other day that you just like have to tell everyone to go and also consume, et cetera, et cetera. Dylan, do you want to start with a dose of drama today?
There's so much on my mind, and I think that you and I are going to have the same one. But 5 years ago this week, Taylor Swift released Folklore, and it's her best album. I've officially decided, and I've been listening to it on loop, and it's been popping up, of course, in my summer I turned pretty journey. So it's very top of mind, and I just want everyone to give it a spin if you haven't in a while. It's crazy to look back at 5 years ago and be like, oh yeah, the world was like on pause when this album came out, and I think it means a lot to me in that way. So that's my dose of drama. Connor, what about you?
I love it. I know. I've been listening to it nonstop. It's still so fresh. It hits like it dropped yesterday. Chris, you might like Folklore.
I'll give it a go. I'll
Yeah.
give it a go. I have no beef.
It's like her folky pop
Yeah.
stuff. Yeah. I don't know if I can remember the fans of The Summer I Turned Pretty are like screaming into their earphones right now, being like, they used this song in this episode. But I don't remember if any of the songs.
They've used many for sure.
Really?
Oh yeah. I've
Well, you just
noticed.
binged all of it. Yeah. So you would remember.
It's fresh. Fresh in
Yeah,
the
yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Chris, do you have a dose of drama?
You guys are better than mine. I love Alex G. He just put out a new album, Headlights, I think it's called. It's really good. It's really good. I like it better than the last album, and maybe on par with, what was it, House of Sugar, whatever it was called from 4 years ago. Anyways, it's been on loop.
Alex G is one of those artists that I had never heard of till he showed up in my algorithm, and people were like, there's a whole other world out there because I'd never heard of him, but he's like a number one artist.
Well, I mean, he is blown up, dude. Not to be like this guy, but I'm gonna be that guy. Like, I remember listening to him when he had like under 100,000 monthly listeners, which is still a lot of people, but now he's like millions and millions. So it's cool to see. I've seen him like every year for the past like 7 years when he's come to New York. He's a cool artist, and he has like some of his best stuff is unreleased and on YouTube. So
Oh, I love that. That's cool. Are you a big concert goer?
yeah, a little bit. I mean, not big. No, people are really into it. I can't claim to be really into it, but I
Yeah.
like seeing artists I like. I don't think I'd go to a concert just to go to a concert,
Yeah.
but if there's somebody I like, I'm there.
That's so fair. It's to me, it can be a hassle, especially when you're in New York and if it's a huge artist, you have to go out to MetLife and it's.
I know. I'm not going to Mel, guys. I'm sorry.
I've only gone for Gaga and Beyonce.
Yeah. I have friends that just did Beyonce. They're doing Gaga. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, there's something else I'm feeling dramatic about. I'm dramatic about CBS canceling The Late Show and Colbert.
Oh, me
That's so
too.
fucked up.
Bad look.
It's really bad.
Bad
I
look.
know.
I think this story is far from over. I don't know what's coming, but I think something's coming.
I think you're right.
I need to watch South Park. Apparently, there's like an amazing episode.
It's fucking funny, dude.
Did you watch the new one?
I saw a lot of it, not the whole thing.
Yeah, a lot of it's been released in clips and stuff
Yeah.
online, but those guys are brilliant and very, they're able to like, I guess they record things like they're able to make it all in a very quick turnaround.
Yeah, they do it so fast. Yeah. That's how they stay so, I guess, relevant, is just because it's so immediate. Like, you don't have to film it a year before.
Right. Well, Chris, it has been so nice to just chat with you, get to know you, hear about what's it called, Pig Farm?
Pig farm, yeah.
I know what I'm doing right
Absolutely.
after this. And obviously, everyone who's listening, if they haven't already, needs to check out Delaria at DR2 Theater.
Are two through August 8th.
Yeah, if y'all saw Titanic, it's the same building. It's just a smaller theater
Oh,
there.
yeah,
Yeah.
okay,
next year.
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's a fun little area of town too. So you can make a whole day or night of it.
Lot of good food. You can get there from any train, almost.
Thank you so much, Chris. And we'll definitely be tuning in to season 3 of The Summer I Turned Pretty. And can't wait to see all the great things to come for you.
Thank you, guys. What a pleasure. This was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know you're not on it a lot, but where can people find you if they want to follow your Instagram journey?
It's my name, Chris Briney. It should pop. There's an underscore at the beginning of the end. I forget which one, but they can find me around.
Love.
Maybe at an Alex G concert.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to blow up the spot, so I'm gonna go showing up like,
That's true. Yeah, in disguise.
play Radio City, dude. That's crazy. Like,
Oh, really?
yeah. October.
Oh my God. I'm picturing like indie venues like a Webster Hall, something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've seen him all over Brooklyn Steel, fucking. But Radio City's
Yeah.
big, dude. I don't know if you can mosh at Radio City, but we'll find
Yeah.
out.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, while everyone's following Chris, they've got to follow us throughout the drama podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Chris. Everyone needs to go see Delaria. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.
Drama.